Hey, the 82 preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. So don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, every opening tip to all those buzzer beaters, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and much more. And if you're new to sports betting, it's super easy to get started. Try betting on something simple like a team to win. Go to the app, select your team, and place your first bet. That's simple. And here's something to sweeten the deal. For new customers, bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Again, use the code SPORTSHUB. And if you're a new customer, you'll get $200 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. That's only on DraftKings.
Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com. Physically present in Massachusetts. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketball terms.
B-Pod Studios.
This is where Boston talks sports. Toucher and Rich. Boston's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. You have until 2 o'clock this afternoon to get your bids in. As this Friday, the show will be at the Royale doing pucks and paddles, the ping pong tournament with the Boston Bruins. It benefits the Floating Hospital for Children at Tufts Medical Center and the Boston Bruins Foundation. You can bid until 2 p.m. today to play with any Bruins player or with us, Rich or I. Rich or I going for top dollar right now.
We're beating out some Bruins, I have to admit. I'm not going to be false modest on this one.
There's some guys
kind of excited.
Don't even have uniforms on. But regardless of who you bid on, you get the same experience. Excuse me, I just had a soda. To bid, go to 985thesportshub.com. I'm a badass, a burp on the mic. Pucks and Paddles is presented by Coors Light and sponsored by Honda ACP Facility Services and Clear Path for Veterans of New England. Jerry Thornton, he writes over there for Barstool.com.
Barstoolsports.com.
I'm sorry, Barstoolsports.com. He is, I think he's a bit of a fan of the Patriots. he is someone who has enjoyed the team throughout his life.
Mm-hmm. Written a book or two?
Yeah, about the team. Couple of books about them. And I think it's fair to say that I appreciate their football playing.
Yes.
Yeah, I think you can say that without fear of contradiction. It's great to be back with you, lads.
Good to be back with you, too.
Good to be with you.
And I just realized this is the first time you've been in studio with us when John's here, right?
Yeah, exactly. First time I've had the pleasure. I think we've worked with some of the same people.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Do you hate Dale Arnold,
too? The same experience, too.
do you hate Dale as much as John does?
I have no beefs at all with Dale. But okay. I'm well aware.
You can lie right here. No one's going to call you on. Good for you.
I don't think Jerry's overly threatened by Dale. I'm going to guess that that's the case. All right, so Josh McDaniel, do you think that he has screwed himself now? Do you think he's going to be trapped as an offensive coordinator for the rest of his career?
Oh, Fred, opposite. As far as this Cleveland Browns thing goes, I think he dodged a massive bullet. He walked in there. My guess is, and if you know if you read this, but he brought his wife. He brought Mrs.
Yes.
McDaniels.
Yeah, yeah,
I don't know
yes.
if she was in the interview or what, but I like to think she was. And she said, Josh, can we just step outside for a second? What on God's name are we doing here? Like, what are we involved in this dysfunctional family circus for? Cleveland is a cluster fudge of the highest order. To the point, do you know who the vice president of football operations
is?
Yeah,
he's over there in San Diego, right?
But no, Paul D. Podesta, the guy that Jonah Hill played in Moneyball. Well, Moneyball, which, by the way, is the most overrated philosophy in the world. Never won a thing in baseball.
They made a movie about it.
Right, and all I can picture is Josh McDaniel sitting there across the table from this guy who says, well, we've got the analytics that say you should never punt or whatever. And I think he probably was just going through the motions on that interview.
So you think he didn't want the job? Because all reports are that was coming home, that was a job that he really wanted. But you're guessing that he did not.
I can't imagine that once he saw the inner workings of Jimmy Haslam's little, you know, circus over there, that he wanted anything to do with it. Put it this way, he should not have wanted it. You get two chances to be a head coach in the NFL. Rarely do you get the third. Pete Carroll did, but he had to go win national titles. Yeah.
Cheat at USC.
Yeah, absolutely. Win a couple of Heisman trophies and whatever. McDaniels has one more shot at this, and Cleveland is not the path to success. That's why the guy they hired, I don't know if you've ever heard him when he was mic'd up, this guy Stefanski. He is low T. Like, they're
seriously. He's got Brian Windhorst voice, is what you're saying?
He's Josh McDaniels' voice.
I've heard him on the field talking about his daughter going to princess camp. Literally, talking about his daughter going to princess camp. And, oh, yeah, there's a high adrenaline, leader of men. So, no, McDaniels, there'll always be opportunity.
This is a great story that's just now coming out this morning. A guy named Dustin Fox, who works for the Fox affiliate out in Cleveland, he said that was told, he's talking about the hiring and or non-hiring of Josh McDaniels and all the other candidates, because was also told the candidates had to agree to turn in game plans to the owner and the analytics department by Friday and to attend an end-of-week analytics meeting to discuss their plan. So what he wanted from all the candidates, including Josh McDaniels, was for him to give them plays and then analytics department to crank through them to see whether or not what the success rate would be of each player.
Well, Jimmy Haslam, I find it hard to believe would want anything, considering he probably spends one day a month in Cleveland as he is. He just stays in Knoxville. But who was it that just got hired that was a huge analytics guy? He didn't get hired. Schwartz in Philadelphia is a big analytics guy, defensive coordinator.
So this is like the ultimate Sophie's choice for you. Let's say Brady leaves. Are you on Team Brady or Team Belichick?
If he leaves under the circumstances, that Belichick determines that it's time to move away, that will be really hard for me. I'm going to go to a dark place, but I can live with it if that's the decision.
Okay.
And according to published reports, Tom Brady Sr., and by the way, why anyone is talking to a 43-year-old's dad to find out what a situation is, you know what I mean? Like,
probably because he's saying exactly what Brady's thinking. See, to me, I think it's a great idea because everyone always bitches to parents, except how many times has Brady told his dad to shut up? Because I guarantee you he's probably telling his mom on the phone, Mom, I don't know what we're going to do. There's a couple teams looking at us. And then dad goes and runs his mouth. And then you got to tell him to shut up. See, I think that's actually a good idea. You talk to the dad and mom if you want to find out some inside stuff.
Yeah, a dad is going to filter it through being a dad. And I respect that. But I've heard from people who spoke to him directly and confirmed what he has said, that Karen Garigian wrote, that it's entirely up to Belichick. And what I take into that, there's no preconditions. It's not like, well, if I don't get McDaniels, if I don't get a tight end, I want to make the most money in the league. I think he's definitely going to play. He wants to play here. And if he should leave because Belichick does just did what's in the best interest of the football team, I'll be able to live with that. If it's for some other thing, if it's because Brady decided he wanted to go play for the Chargers and prove that he can win or some emotional nonsense, that's going to be tough. I'm not going to enjoy facing the dawn the day after that happens.
Okay, is it his fault that the offense stunk this year?
Well,
is it his fault?
Hang on one second, because just piggybacking the thing. So you don't think that the money matters to him as much as people are making it out to be?
For 19 years, it hasn't mattered. And to believe that suddenly he's all butthurt because, I don't know, Jimmy Garoppolo's making more than him seems sort of counterintuitive. I think Brady is that hyper-competitive guy. What do we always hear about the great athletes? It doesn't matter what the sport is. It doesn't matter if it's ping pong in the basement or throwing playing cards into a hat. They'll kill their grandparents to win. I think that's Brady. And I don't know how you can say he really wants to win, but he also wants to make the most money in the league, because those two things rarely go hand in hand. And I think he's doing okay off the field. I don't know what Under Armour stock is doing right now, but I think it's going extremely well. So I have a hard time thinking that he's telling them, I want a max deal. I want to be the highest paid quarterback after all this time. I don't know. It could be. I just have serious doubts about that.
All right. Jerry Thornton from BarstoolSports.com is going to continue with us in studio. 617-779-0985. We'll be right back.
Sports Hub.
Hey, listen up. It's Rich, and I'm here to tell you that T-Mobile's network is bigger than ever before. T-Mobile has unleashed their most powerful signal yet.
The owner of the organization, Bob Kraft, said earlier this week that it was his hope and prayer that you stayed with the Patriots or that you retire. Tom, you're the only one that can make that determination. You're the guy who can answer his hopes and his prayers. When will you make that determination?
Well, I think, like I said, I love playing football, and I love playing for this organization. So I really don't know what it looks like moving forward, and I'm just taking it day to day. So we're a week removed from the end of our season. There's a lot of time to figure these things out. I don't think any player or team is ready to make any commitments at this point. And I'm sure as the offseason progresses, you know, those things will take care of themselves.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Be listening at 8:35 around there for your chance to score a pair of tickets to see Def Leppard, Poison, Joan Jett, and the Blackhearts live at Fenway Park on August 26th. And oh, by the way, a little band called Motley Crue, who is going to be absolutely ridiculous. There has been a second show added. Tickets are on sale this Thursday at 10 a.m. Visit RedSox.com. Jerry Thornton from BarstoolSports.com is here. He's written a couple books about the Patriots. And the question is this the end of the dynasty? Is this the end of, you know, with Brady's age and the way that he played? First of all, do you think that he's being unfairly criticized for the way that he played last season?
He definitely deserves a piece of the blame, for sure. Not a huge piece. I think this offense is a high-performance, precision-engineered German sports car. And I have a friend who used to have a BMW, and I worked with him at my old job, and I used to have to pick him up a lot because his car was in the shop. Now, when it ran, it was unbelievable, but you can't just toss the keys to the grease monkey down at the gas and sip and say, hey, tune it up. It requires a lot of work. This offense was never able to get properly tuned up this year. I thought the talent was there. One fatal flaw for sure was the tight end position. I mean, sorry, Zoe, but I would take Travis Kelce right now. P-word and
Zoe
all.
Got killed last night, right?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Just because they had Matt Lacoste, who, objectively speaking, might be the worst blocking tight end I've ever seen in my whole life. He one time tackled James White. Blocking for him. He was part of a double team, and he was thrown at James White's knees like a dwarf toss. And I just said they never addressed that. So there were problems there, but I think they were better than they performed. Part of that is on Brady. Part of that, I think, is he knows it so well. He's like that genius who has a hard time teaching a freshman level class.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you know? Like when Magic Johnson went to coach a basketball team, and he's like, why don't you just do what I do?
Yes, another genius in his own way, Magic Johnson, right? No. Sure, I think that it, right up until the last game, I mean, N'Keal Harry, who has all the makings of a solid pro, you know, ran a go route and Brady overthrew him and was motioning like, why did you slow down? And they showed the replay and he did, in fact, slow down when he had a step on the corner. So there's a lot of factors there. They produced 14 points, you know, in the final. And by the way, I was at the Miami game.
Oh my God.
I brought my family for the first time. I surprised
them. Because
you're
like, instant win. Here we go.
Yeah, my wife and two kids. I surprised them with tickets for Christmas. Everything was great until the last 3 minutes. And that defense was like Mariano Rivera blowing a 2-run save with nobody on base.
Right.
And I went into this fugue state. It was the Walking Dead going back to the parking lot where I like just grilled hamburgers and drank and stared into the abyss.
But as a super fan like you, why do you want the band to get back together again? I mean, because you're looking at what they just did without any kind of sweeping changes. Like, I mean, you've got to have some sort of upgrade at receiver. And as you said, a tight end is a huge hole right now.
They don't have a second round pick.
And if they're going to use the kind of money that Brady probably wants, like, how are they going to be able to finagle a decent team around him when you've got Edelman, who's getting two surgeries? He's old as hell now for an NFL receiver.
Oldest team in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, why would you want to get the band back together?
for a few reasons. One, I don't think they're that far off. They were 12-4 this year. They were 11-5 with the team that won the Super Bowl the year before. They were 3-5 on the road. They gave up 100 fewer points this year than they did last year.
But they also played their first half of their schedule was ridiculous in the teams that they play.
You know, it's the schedule. I know that they schedule too many mid-majors, you know, and maybe should have had some more BCS teams. I don't know. Like, they played the same schedule that, say, the Bills did. Everything that happened with the Patriots this year is exactly what happened with the Saints. Yeah. Right? They've got a quarterback who's north of 40, genius coach. They won double-digit games, but had to play in the wild card, got beat at home. I don't hear anybody saying it's all over for the Saints.
It's because the Patriots, at the end of days.
It's
because Tom Brady has 6 Super Bowls. I mean, that's why. It's different. I mean, you know, you're kind of at this point, other than the one Super Bowl, you're used to, all right, well, they get to the postseason and they lose.
Whereas the Patriots find a way.
They find a way to win, and when they didn't, and when it's a wild card thing, and it's the way they ended the season, it's the Miami loss, it's just all of it compounded. That's why you're hearing about them. They're also talking
about Breeze retiring and Breeze going into
broadcasting.
Right. So, I mean, there is talk about that team, you know, falling off a cliff. And there's talk of Sean Payton being an overrated coach.
And you know what? It's like when you're the best and you're known as just the bully on the block, everyone's going to relish more talking about your downfall than you are Mr. Good Guy over there with, you know, Drew Brees, who everyone seems to love, even though Sean Payton was involved in some of the most ridiculous scandals. You want to talk about the Patriots and their scandals. Look at the Bounty Gate and everything that he was involved in. So,
but I thought that was cool.
A Bounty Gate? You thought it was super cool?
Yeah.
The way that they've, like, paid people to ruin others' lives?
Yeah.
And listen, I love the Saints. We all feel a kinship to them because they know what it's like to get bent over a table and buggered by a crooked tyrant. I just quickly will add that Roger Goodell's birth is the punishment for the sins of man. I looked, Fred, and I couldn't find any reference online of opinions of people saying that it's all over for the Saints. Every time I Googled, like, Saints over, I got like a betting line.
Right.
Every time I Googled, you know, Patriots over, I got 1,000 articles about how it's all over. Which, by the way, if you're one of those people saying that this is the end of the dynasty, answer me when you started saying that. Because some of the people who are saying it now were saying it in 2006.
Sure, of course.
Like, sure. And I know that you guys love nothing more than talk about 16th century French philosophers on this show.
All about it.
Yeah. Blaise Pascal came up with Pascal's Wager, which is, he chose to believe in God because if he's wrong, all right, you know, he wasted his time on Sunday mornings a little bit. But if he doesn't believe in him and he's wrong, his soul burns forever. I have been believing in Tom Brady nonstop consistently since he took over in 2001, and it served me pretty well.
Yes.
And I know there's a lot of guys, a couple of them are on your afternoon show from 2 to 6, who have been declaring him dead nonstop for over a decade, and that this is it, and there's this weird obsession with how it's going to end. I choose to live in the here and now and believe in my deity, and it served me well.
Is this the weirdest season?
Blaise Pascal invented the lighting of farts.
That would be his brother, Blue.
Yeah, he's lesser known for the wager.
There was Blue and Blaise Pascal. I held on to that for like a minute.
It's a good one.
No, it's not. I held on to that for a minute, right. But then you tagged it. You tagged it and you saved it a little bit.
Blaze Pascal invented the blue fart, the blue blazer.
So, if you are truly a believer in this team, I just, what do you think? I mean, this season has been so weird, like from the beginning and all the offseason stuff, and then Antonio Brown and everything that happened with that. And then you've got, you know, Tom Brady appearing in that Netflix special, which was just super weird. I mean, everything, you have to admit, this is one of the weirder years of being a Patriots fan. Correct?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And as a guy who wakes up every day and says, what can I write about the Patriots today? I thank God for it. Like, I always think somewhere out there, there's a guy whose job is to blog about the Utah Jazz. Like, what are his July days like? Because this team can't go 72 hours without being the top sports story in the world, and sometimes the top news story. I mean, the scandal down in Palm Beach that I've been referring to as the Tug Rule was amazing. The Barstool sent me down there in April to try to interview the police involved, and they stonewalled the hell out of me.
Oh,
like,
really?
The investigators who couldn't get in front of a microphone fast enough to talk about human trafficking and, you know, oh, yeah, there are underage girls, like, handcuffed to the radiator in the back room at this strip mall. No, it was the phoniest thing in the world.
Right.
You're right. And then it comes back with that Brady doing that scene in the Paul Rudd.
I mean, that was – I don't get shocked by a lot. But I remember the morning I woke up and I saw that video. I woke up my wife. I'm like, you are not going to believe this. Like, check this out. And she started laughing. And all the explanations that came out just didn't really
make sense.
But
you
I
don't
mean,
even know what it's about. Well, it's about him coming out of
And you know what I was thinking about? It's almost like there's almost a relief, I would think, if you're Robert Kraft, that they didn't make the Super Bowl this year of all years, if you had to choose one. Because the Super Bowl is in Miami. Think about all of the think pieces and all of the reporters and all the radio guys that are going to go up to Orchids of Asia, because it's, what, an hour up the street from Miami? Was an hour and a half?
There's no way it's still open, right?
Oh, listen, I got dropped off by an Uber guy. We couldn't even locate it. His GPS was saying it's right here. So I got out of the car. There's an empty storefront there. All the markings had been removed. And this is back in April, so this thing was still fresh. I had to, like, peer in through the window. You know, they had, like, the paper on the cover the plate glass and see that by the furniture. Okay, that must be it because that's sort of Asian-themed furniture. While I'm there, a guy takes a picture of me, and I go, are you doing a story about this too? He goes, no, this is for the lawsuit. I went, what? Like,
oh, my God.
I go, are you suing me? He goes, I'm suing the people who are responsible for this. Oh, so I'm going to be an exhibit, not a plaintiff. Click away. I don't care. So I went to an Asian massage parlor up the street where the woman explained to me, it's killing their business. And she said, we're legitimate. We don't do that sort of thing. I said, well, it's been nice talking to you. I'm out the door.
This is not what I was looking for.
I came back in and she said, the police down there are so corrupt. The prosecutors. I want to be clear. I'm all pro, you know, the thin blue line. But the most political animal in the world are district attorneys, you know, who anytime there's a high-profile case can't run in front of a camera fast enough to pound their fist and talk about how they're saving the world because it equals votes. Those guys who were talking about human trafficking just sort of like let the conversation just sort of taper off and change the subject. But there are still people out there who think that there was the woman involved was 58 years old and ran the business, and she's an American citizen.
Of some means, too, because she was able to, you know, be a donor enough to the Republican Party where she was able to rub elbows with the, you know, the elites.
Like a respected businesswoman that she is,
that's
for sure.
Right.
And anyway, it was the first time I ever got a massage in my life. It was the most invasive, personal. My doctor has not seen parts of me that this woman did. No crime was committed. The difference between what a common massage is like and what Mr. Kraft got is less than 1%, you know, and yet somehow, and by the way, by the way,
not the second time. The second time there was digits and mouths and everything else going on.
Okay, I guess, sorry, 2%. 2%, really, because, I mean, it was, I really came out of there. I took a pregnancy test when I left there because I said, I think what this woman did to me for a tip money. And listen, it was embarrassing, I guess, to an extent until you realize this is a grown man. What are we talking about here? But it's the Patriots. No. So it became the biggest story in the world. This whole year has been like that, to your point, Rich.
Yeah.
I wrote this after the season ended. There's an old Star Trek where Scotty says, the Enterprise doesn't feel right, Mr. Spock. And Spock says, you know, what are you, an idiot, stupid human, or whatever. But they checked and found out that he was right. There was something wrong with it. The ship had been disassembled by aliens and reassembled, and they did it wrong. And Scotty could just feel it because he's so cool. This engine of this Patriots ship hasn't felt right all year long. I will say that.
Yeah.
Those plays that they always make, they didn't make.
Yeah.
The calls that they would get in the past, they did not get, whether it's the N'Keal Harry thing or whatever.
And Brady didn't seem happy the entire year. And I think that's a contract thing. I think it stemmed right from the moment. Because remember how happy he was? He was like, we'll talk to Mr. Kraft. I remember in preseason, he was laughy, jokey guy. And I think the minute that that didn't go down and he ended up basically telling them that I'm able to be a free agent, I think that he was just Eeyore from there on out. And then the Antonio Brown thing added to all of it, because I still think he holds that against the organization for getting rid of him. Now, it's been proven that that was a wise move,
right,
with the way that Antonio Brown's acted like a jackass since then. But I think that there was that as well, and it was just everything was odd this entire year.
You know, you can tell someone's mood by looking at their dog. Like, he could be your best friend. You might not pick up on the clues, but his dog does. And if he's sad, you know, the guy said, Julian Edelman to me has always been like Brady's dog. Like, I didn't get that sense that he, you know, sometimes he'll make a great catch and you almost think he's going to put the ball in his mouth and run back to the huddle.
Sure.
Throw it again.
There was none of that.
Yeah, he seemed sort of like serious Jules. He seemed a little.
You need to jump on more cars, you know, and then, you know, possibly that at the beginning of the season, he should have done that.
Well, listen, he was just having a good time. He was having the time of his life.
How many times do you think they said the word bro? You know, him and Amendola.
Well,
Beverly Hills.
And there's like nothing to do in Beverly Hills. I just don't understand it. All right. Jerry Thornton, BarstoolSports.com. It's always a pleasure to have you in. 617-931-0985, right? We are going to have a contest to give away tickets to the only show that I've wanted to see for many, many years. And that is Motley Crue along with Def Leppard, Poison, and Joan Jett. But Motley Crue is the real story here, because it will be a comedy of errors. We'll start with car number two, and then we'll move on if they don't get it right, because this is an actual contest. All right, we'll be back here at the headlines.
Let's go. 98.5 The Sports Hub. 617-931-0985. Apparently, when we said we were doing the contest, Bird just assumed that caller number 10 was the winner, even though I clearly said that it wasn't the case. And then Dan asked Bird what was going on, and he goes, you know, I zone out. And my point is,
well,
like,
sorry, but the first one was, you know, I'm not listening.
Oh, yeah, he goes,
you know, I'm not paying attention, right?
Yeah, and
that was the first part of this,
which is odd because this is supposed to be entertainment for people.
That's like, what I said.
Like, this is supposed to be something that people listen to have their day go by better.
Works on the show.
Yeah, but apparently for Bird, it's such a colossal bore. That he cannot focus at all on what's going on the stage. Like, he was literally just going to give it to caller number 10.
He just made that up? Like, you just made that up in your head?
It was like autopilot. It really was. It was just literally, and I had to stop him. I'm like, literally had to almost take the phone away from him and say,
give Bird the mic real quick. Because Bird, get on Dan's mic real quick. What do you do during the show?
Just watch Twitch. Google.
Wait a minute.
Wait, you watch Google?
No, I have Twitch up here. I'm helping Nick with the.
But what are you listening to?
Nothing.
What? Can you not listen to the show?
He's not listening to the show.
Well, why not?
He's watching videos.
Well, why can't you listen to the show? I mean,
because he has headphones on.
You have to be able to hear what. Yeah, you have headphones on too.
Yeah.
What are you listening to in your headphones?
Nothing right now.
The other 90%.
I know. When we're on the air, what are you listening to?
I'm just looking at clips.
So you're not listening to the show in your headphones?
No.
He's like, what's the problem?
He watches clips on YouTube.
I mean, you got it. What's the problem?
It was just for 20 minutes.
I know. No.
During the show, what is he listening to?
It's everything on social media. It's everything on his Facebook page, Twitter.
All right.
It's everything.
He has that text chain with his friends, right?
Yeah, but he went and got a pair of headphones so he could, so that when he listens or watches videos that he doesn't want us to hear, he plugs into the speaker so it goes into the headphones.
So he watches, like, YouTube and stuff.
Sure.
Bert, may I please ask you, if you would not mind, during the show, when we're on the air, when you're not answering the phone, because I understand sometimes you're talking to someone on the phone, I get that.
We take so many calls.
But when you're not, could you please listen to the show? That way you can hear whether we're submitting for callers. Thank you.
Okay, well, you've just solved the problem.
No problems. Now we're good.
I think that's kind of a big ask. I mean, what are you doing? Listen, the ironic thing here is I listen to the show when I'm supposed to be concentrating on other things. I have friends who drive snow plows or climb telephone poles in all winter, and they're listening to the show distraction.
Yeah, Bert's job is to listen to the show.
Yeah, like the idea. It's funny because it's not like you're in some accounts receivable meeting, you know, where like it's just turning. Like this is supposed to be entertaining, and yet it's so boring for Bert. That if for 4 hours a day, he can't listen to it.
Yeah, well, you guys are out here cracking wise. I'm watching this thing about actuarial tables from an insurance seminar. Like, what? just to pass the time. Wow.
We should, like, do something, like, have a sounder for whenever we actually get Bird's attention. Like, if we said something on the air where he looks up and actually reacts. Like, we'd be like, whoa!
Well, that is
Bird likes it!
That has happened, never that Bird liked it, but that it's happened that, we've been talking about Bird, and he was completely oblivious to the fact that we were talking about him.
That is true.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, that happens a lot. All right. So we have tickets. This is a show that Rich and I both really want to go to.
I can't wait. It's going to be legitimately good because Def Leppard's a good tight band. They sound really good live. And it's going to be hysterical because Vince Neil is just a mess. And if you've heard him live over the past, like, 10 years or so, he just can't sing anymore, and it's high comedy. The rest of the band, and then you got Mick Mars, you can hardly move. You got Tommy Lee's going to put on a great show. I don't doubt that at all.
Tommy,
they're going to get the roller coaster drum set that's going to do flips and stuff.
Tommy Lee's in bad shape too.
He sounds great. He still sounds good in his drumming. I mean, hasn't taken a hit.
I wonder how much of that is his drumming and how much of that is.
Oh, that's him. Like, I mean, a lot of that you can't fake. I mean, you can see him playing. I mean, he's still playing really well.
He's got a lot of problems. He was playing golf with Fat Mike from NoFX the other day.
I've known there's been artists who have, like, every problem in the world, but for some reason during that hour and a half when they go on stage, they're brilliant, and then they might collapse as soon as they get off and be awful. But you've seen that happen. Yes. He's one of those guys.
I saw a guy from the band Tantric have to be held up.
You saw Tantric?
Yeah, I paid.
I just had to ask that.
There were two girls in wigs that were hot, but they wore neon wigs, and they took two guys from Tantric into, like, the trailer bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
And when the dude from Tantric, the drummer, came out, I mean, he was jello. And so they had to have two roadies hold him from the back so he could sit in front of the drums. I mean, he just was sitting there, but they had given him, I would imagine, ketamine, but there you go. All right, so how are we
going to
do this?
So here's how this is going to work. I am going to read you. I have transcribed the actual words that Vince Neil has said in a live concert within the past 10 years. All right? And if you can tell me what song he is singing, you will win the tickets. Remember, I transcribed the words that Vince Neil actually said while on stage, okay? Maybe not the words that he's supposed to have said, maybe not the lyrics, but what he actually said, all right? So let's go to caller number one. The lyrics in which he said on stage are as follows. Hubby rage, pee the stage, twiddle little roses in my brain, and I shot wish steel.
Okay, I know what song that is.
You do?
Yes. Because I've watched enough of him.
Okay.
Drunk and bloated.
Right. Hubby rage, pee the stage, twiddle little roses in my bean, and I shot wish steel.
All right. I don't know who this is because Bird did not put in your name. But hello. Just say hello, and then you'll know it's me.
Hello.
Hey, okay, so it's you. All right, so what song is that?
Kick Stop My Heart.
Let's take a listen.
Here.
There you go. Congratulations.
That is the magic you'll be going. Oh,
congratulations
to you. That is the magic you'll be seeing.
Do you know how hard that was? Do you know how hard that was to translate? Like, did I like, okay, what is he saying? A hubby rage? Pee the stage?
All right.
Maybe he's like, maybe he's warning the roadie. I peed the stage.
Well, that's like when Ozzy's on and they have to keep covering him with water because he's peed himself so many times. All right. So that will be the kind of fun you're going to be seeing as you attend the Motley Crue, Def Leppard, Poison, and Joan Jett and the Blackhearts live at Fenway Park on August 26th. There's a second show as well. Tickets on sale this Thursday at 10 a.m. Visit redsox.com. Thank you so much for the time, sir.
Thank you, guys.
Congratulations.
That clip was the best ad for this concert. I had zero desire to go.
You got
to
go now.
Now, I want to go and just face the crowd. I want to hear that behind me while I'm watching a bunch of 65-year-old women in, like, fringe jackets, you know, who all have daughters named after characters from Stevie Nicks songs, and watch them shaking their ample mom booties.
Yeah, wait, and then they flash, and then their knees get hurt. But, no, I don't like Motley Crue that much, and I loved hair metal, but Motley Crue I don't think are a very good band, but I will pay very real money to see Motley Crue on stage.
Jerry, I've told the story before. I'll do it quick and condensed. My band years ago just got signed to a management deal, and one of their artists was Motley Crue. We were nobody, but they put us on tour with Vince Neil. One day we went to this place in Chicago. His favorite strip club was right next door. He spent all day at the strip club. They could not find him when it was time for them to go on stage. They ended up going to the strip club. They bring him in. He's lost his voice because he's been yelling at strippers all day. He gave his like $50,000 Rolex to a stripper, made them go back in and get the Rolex back from him. He goes on stage. His voice is shot. He does four songs and quits and walks off the stage.
Well,
that was the show.
Rich played in Detroit well outside of Detroit, and I went to see his band, and Vince Neil came out with a Tommy Bahama shirt on, and I swear to God, like, because every band has alcohol on stage, but he came out holding a metal bucket of beers and put it on a stool. Like he was,
which he was super tempted to sit on,
but they didn't put him on the monitor or on the amps or anything.
Jerry, there was a keyboardist who was behind the stage who had all of his vocals on a key, and when they were doing sound check, he was, "Whoa, yeah, 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 Kicks Stop My Heart." It was like so they knew that when Vince couldn't do it, there was somebody pressing the keys.
Well, they've given up on that whole idea.
Why couldn't he have just stayed at the nudie bar and just let the sound guy do it? Listen, how has there not been the Vince Neil biopic done yet?
Well,
I just saw Rocket Man.
Yeah.
I want to do a fictionalized version of that.
The book is the best book. I've said it before. It's the best book I've ever read. The Motley Crue, like, oral history. It is insane.
They're terrible people. But the thing about Rocket Man, which I saw too, and I hate musicals, is that Elton John had good songs. So maybe
Motley Crue's a good band.
That's a different thing. I'm going to do a biopic about a guy who grows up well-adjusted, and his parents are really supportive of his music, and he has a nice life and just makes good music. No. You've got to have the obligatory, "You're wasting your time with that rock and roll, kiddo. I don't know what you're doing. Like, learn to live it," or whatever John's dad is.
Elton John, I mean, you know, he had a rough couple decades, which were entertaining. Good luck finding a musician that didn't. Yeah, like do something on like Donnie Marie. All right. Well, listen, Mr. Thornton, thank you so much for joining us again. Jerry Thornton, you can read him at barstoolsports.com. And congratulations. We will have tickets for the Motley Crue and other show all week long. We will be right back.
Toucher and Rich.
Hey, the 82 preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. So don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, every opening tip to all those buzzer beaters, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and much more. And if you're new to sports betting, it's super easy to get started. Try betting on something simple like a team to win. Go to the app, select your team, and place your first bet. That's simple. And here's something to sweeten the deal. For new customers, bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Again, use the code SPORTSHUB. And if you're a new customer, you'll get $200 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. That's only on DraftKings.
Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling helpline MA.org. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com. Physically present in Massachusetts. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketball terms.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape.
And a wrench. And a towel. More duct tape. A hammer. This random tube I found in the basement. Another bucket. More tape. A little more tape. Perfect.
Ah, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.